Romans 4:13-17. Why by faith and not through the law? Let's pray and prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today. Father, thank you for your word. Open our hearts and our minds that we can hear what you're saying to us today, and may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of your word. Let's read verses 13 and 14. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be the heir of the world was not given through the law, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Verse 14, for if those who live by the law are heirs, faith is useless and the promise is worthless. Verse 15, because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. The meditation questions for these verses are as follows. Why was God's promise not given to Abraham through the law? Why would the promise that Abraham and his offspring be useless and the promise worthless if it came through the law and not by faith? One of the main things Paul says throughout Romans is that righteousness comes by faith and not through the law. Why is this so important? Paul goes back to Abraham, the father of our faith, to prove his point. There is no recorded promise that Abraham and his descendants would be heirs of the world. It seems to be implied that God's promised that all nations would be blessed through Abraham and his offspring. The law was not given until 430 years after God made this promise to Abraham. Paul made it clear in Romans 3:27-31 that faith excludes boasting. People who try to establish their own righteousness by obeying the law have something to boast about. They attempt to become righteous by what they do rather than by trusting in what Christ has done for us. Paul stated in no uncertain terms that in Romans 3:20 that no one can become righteous by keeping the law. Instead, we become conscious of our sins through the law. In Romans 3:14, Paul said, if those who live by the law are heirs, faith is useless and the promise is worthless because the law brings judgment. And where there is no law, there is no sin. There would be no need for faith or for God's promise if we could become righteous by keeping the law. There would be no need for Jesus to come and die in our place. In Galatians 2:21, Paul said, if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Paul added in Romans 4:15, where there is no law, there is no transgression. It does not mean that people do not commit sins where there is no law or that they will not be judged. It means that without the law, people do not see that they are sinning. For example, if we had no speed limits on the highway, a person could drive 250 kilometers an hour without being charged for breaking the law. In other words, one cannot break a law that does not exist. However, if the speed limit is set at 120 kilometers an hour, one can be accused and found guilty of breaking the law. The point is that the law cannot save us. It can only expose our sins and subject us to judgment. But the law cannot make us righteous. Abraham did not receive the promise from God through the law. He was credited with righteousness by believing God's promise. Verse 16, the promise comes by faith so that it may rest on grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the presence of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being what does not yet exist. The meditation questions for verses 16 and 17 are, why does God's promise come by faith? And what does it mean to have the faith of Abraham? And also, why is Abraham the father of us all? And finally, what did Abraham believe about God? We'll try to answer these short questions. God's promise to Abraham and to us comes by faith so that it may rest on grace. That's what it says. if we could become righteous through the law, it would not depend on the grace of God, but on our own works. The gospel teaches that we are saved through the grace of God, not by our ability or efforts to keep the law. Abraham became righteous before God by faith, not by obeying the law. Abraham's example guarantees that we, too, are saved by grace through faith and not by the law. He is the father of us all. As it is written, verse 17, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the presence of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being what does not yet exist. Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation, but he is also the father of everyone who has faith in Christ. God said to Abraham in Genesis 7:14, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. This was one of God's promises to Abraham. When God gave Abraham this promise, he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, as it is written in Genesis 17:5. God said to him, No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations. Abraham means father of many. Abraham did become the physical father of many nations. Spiritually, Abraham became the father of all true believers, both Jews and Gentiles, who have believed in Jesus, which includes us. He was the father of many, or he is the father of many. Verse 17 says, He is our father in the presence of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being what does not yet exist. God views Abraham as our father because we believed in him just as Abraham did. When God spoke these words to Abraham in Genesis 17:4-7, God had no son, but he believed the promise. Abraham believed the promise that God had given him. Abraham believed that God could give life to the dead. His wife was past the age when it was humanly possible to have children. Her womb was as good as dead, as it says in verse 19, but Abraham believed God could give her a son. God created the universe by speaking. He said in Genesis 1:3, Let there be light, and there was light. If God could do that, Abraham concluded, then he could call into existence things that did not yet exist. We tend to think that things that are easy for us are easy for God, but things that are hard for us are hard for God. For example, we might think it is easy to heal a cold or a headache, but cancer must be very hard for God to heal. Abraham saw that nothing is too hard for God. He is the God who created the universe out of nothing. Abraham reasoned if God spoke the world into everything into existence, then he could fulfill his promise to give him a son. How about our faith? I think that we sometimes believe that God can do things that are humanly possible, but struggle to believe that he can do things that are humanly impossible. How about you? What promises has God made to you? Are you willing, like Abraham, to believe that nothing is impossible for God? I want to encourage you all to believe in the God of the impossible. We sometimes look at situations in our lives, our families, friends, or nation, and see impossibilities. Remember, God gives life to the dead and calls into being what does not yet exist. Nothing is impossible for God. He wants us to believe him not only for what seems possible for us, but also for the promises he gives us that are humanly impossible. Let's pray. God, our Father, we believe you. Thank you for the grace and mercy of the cross. Nothing is impossible for you. You can call things into being that do not yet exist. Thank you for making us righteous in Christ, which is a great miracle of your love and grace. We want to walk by faith like Abraham, believing you for all that you have promised to us in Christ. Inspire our faith today. We believe you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.